verse.
Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly come, with all thy quickening power, in the
Go back to 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel 25. I saw some great anticipation in the eyes of some of you as we were reading this. There's a story within this story. The reason this story happened, the reason this event took place, is the story, the true story. That's why this whole book was written. That's why everything happened that happened. It's the story within the story, the spiritual story. It's the story of our God and King. It's the story of the foolishness of man. It's the story of one intercessor, the one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, the intercessor. Abigail's intercession is the story of Christ, the intercessor. May the Lord give you ears to hear this and heart to rejoice in it. Let's look at the king. David is the king. David is king. Though some don't know it, though some don't acknowledge it, such as Nabal, Saul, others, David is the king. He is the king. It had been declared by God through the prophets that David was the king. God had told everyone that through the prophets. It's only a matter of time till everyone would submit to David as king. Only a matter of time till every knee would bow. Even all the fools. And every tongue confess that David is God's king. And so it is with our king, with God, who reigns, though the whole world says he does not. Though men deny it. Though men don't know it. Though men don't believe it. God reigns. He's king. That's what it means to be king. You reign and rule. Have your will among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And though men don't know it or acknowledge it, though men are fools, yet it only remains. And in a matter of time, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Chapter 1 of Romans, just quickly turn over there with me. Chapter 1 of Romans, you need to see this. Compare spiritual things with spiritual. Chapter 1 of Romans says these very things. And I advise everyone to start in the book of Romans and begin to read and ask the Lord to show you the truth of who God is, what man is, and who Christ is. It's all here in the book of Romans. Chapter 1 and verse 18 says, the wrath of God. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known, how do they hold the truth in unrighteousness? That which may be known of God is manifest in them or to them. God hath showed it unto them. The invisible thing, that is the creation, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Things that are made. This world clearly reveals His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Men and women are without excuse. This world is too marvelous, too complex, too glorious. And it reveals clearly that is an all-wise, all-powerful Creator. Only an absolute fool would say that these things just came out of a soup. Well, anyway, he goes on to say in verse 21, but when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. All right, go back to our text. So our God is king. David was king then, but this fellow Nabal didn't acknowledge him, did he? That's because he's a fool. That's what the name Nabal means. Fool. Abigail said, as his name is, so is he. It's a fool. Nabal. Let's look at this old fool. This is a man who doesn't believe the king. This is a man who rejects him, though it's plainly told by many. But this is a great man. Verse 2 and 3 said there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man, in other words, he had so many possessions, he had to keep them in other places. The man was very great, or he was prosperous. Had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats. Didn't have enough land where he lived, so he rented out pasture all over the place. Prosperous man, great man. Great possessions, but he's a fool. We're going to see what are those possessions? Are those the blessings of God on him? No. Great blessings, spirit, material blessings aren't necessarily the blessings of God. And it was a curse for this fellow. He was rich and increased with goods. He didn't need a king. He didn't need a king. Now, why is he a fool? Well, number one, because he's rich only in things. A man who all he has is the possessions in this world is a fool. If he, all his eggs are in one basket, so to speak, he's a fool. I remember the story of, supposed to be a true story of a king who had a court jester. A court jester. They used to call them court fools. Remember? Used to call them fools. Now we call them comedians and pay them great sums of money and hang on their every word and listen to them all the time. Comedians, they used to be called fools because they act so foolishly. This king had a court fool. Court gesture. And the king was dying. The king was on his deathbed. And the court fool, the gesture, came to him to visit him and said, "Oh, my king, where art thou going?" And the fellow said, "I don't know." The king said, "I don't know." He said, "How long will you be gone?" And the king said, "Forever." And the court jester, the court fool, said, "Well, hast thou made any preparations for this journey?" And the king said, "No." And the court jester took his fool's cap off and said, "Who is really the fool? You're going to a place from which you'll never return, have made no preparations to go there, have lived all your life in pleasure. Who's the fool? Who's the fool? Man is born of woman is a few days, and that full of trouble. And man goes to his long home from which he will not return. Made in preparation. All your eggs in one basket. With Christ as your all, then there's life. Man's a fool who's rich only in material things and poor in, toward God. This man was a fool because he didn't give God the glory for his riches. We're going to see that. He didn't give God the glory. He took credit for it. He thought he did it all. He thought he got it all. He thought by his industry and by his hard work and by his intelligence and that he did it all. What a fool. What a fool. And he doesn't acknowledge the king. This is his greatest foolishness. Act. This is what makes him the biggest fool of all. He doesn't acknowledge the king. And he's going to die because of it. That's what's going to kill it. The king himself's going to kill it. All right? That's a fool. And that's man. Do you see the story within the story? That's man. Man's a fool. He doesn't acknowledge God. He thinks that all he has and does is by his own might and power and industry and his intelligence, and doesn't acknowledge God. Neither is thankful. Doesn't give God the glory for these things. And he doesn't acknowledge God's King, who is Jesus Christ the Lord, unto whom every knee will bow, either now or later. But they will. That makes a man a fool. A man who has no interest in he around whom the universe revolves is a fool. All right, the king sends word to the fool. The king's word to the fool. Look at verses 4 through 9. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear sheep. David sent out 10 young men. David did not himself speak to this fellow. Kings don't go running asking things of people. You know what? Oh, no. Kings don't beg people to do anything. Kings don't need people to do anything for them. Kings give orders to their servants, and their servants go out and do things. David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name, and say thus and thus. And tell him, we've been watching over you. Now, I'm going to paraphrase what David said. Tell him that we're men of war. I'm the king, and these are my men of war. These aren't beggars. These aren't money hounds. These aren't thieves and robbers like so many of these others are. These are honorable men whom I've sent to you. And we've watched over your shepherds and all. We haven't taken anything. And we've hedged you about. Now you go tell him to give us something. Give us something. We're worthy. There's a lot of marauders out there, a lot of thieves out there who would have brought great harm to you, and we've watched over you, and you give what's rightfully ours. Now, do you see that? Do you see what the Scriptures says? The Lord, now, God Almighty speaks to this world through prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These 10 men represent. How shall they believe in him who they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? There's a lot of them out there who weren't sent. But God has not left himself without a witness, Scripture said. He has his men, always have sent them, men. And he sends them. And God speaks to the sons of men through his word. But no scripture was any private interpretation. See, God Almighty does not personally speak to human beings. No, no. But he speaks through his messengers, okay? Through his word. And he sent word. He sends his word. I'm God. Beside me, there's none else. I girded you. This is what he said in Isaiah 45. I girded you. I clothed you, though you don't know me. I've given you. Isaiah 1, he says, I've fed and watered and clothed a people, though you don't know me, though you don't acknowledge me. I've watched over you. I've hedged you about. And I have men who have come with good news. Men who are good men, honest men, men whom you need to hear from, men whom without you would be in trouble, because there are lots of thieves and robbers out there, false men, prophets. And I've sent my men. I've got the good word from the king for you. You do to them as you see fit. They deserve it. I've watched over you. I've taken care of you. So it is that God Almighty has done to all mankind. Oh, yeah. All mankind. And the Scripture says that God looked down from heaven upon the children of men. Old David saw, it says, he saw these shepherds and all that down there. Scripture says, God's eyes behold, his eyelids try the sons of men. And the Scripture says, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men. To see if there were any that did understand. Understand what? That in him we live and move and have our being. That God reigns. That we're under his divine control and sovereign rule. See if there were any that did understand. And any that did seek God. You'd think if a man knew that there's a king sitting on a hill and his soldiers surrounding you, that he'd fear the king, wouldn't he? And he'd send out petitions to see what it was the king wanted. Huh? You see what I'm saying? The man's down here with all his possessions and all that, and he understands his king's watching me. And all his soldiers surrounded him. That he'd send out, O king, what is it? What needest thou? What do you have to say to me? You going to kill me? You going to let me live? What is it? What's your will? What's your purpose? Huh? The Scripture says that none that did understand, none that seeketh after God. None that seeketh after God. None. All man by nature, all mankind by nature are fools. You know, we're all fools by nature. We're born fools. The Scripture says that fool born every day. That's right, every one of them. Born that way. Born fools. And grow up as fools because we don't acknowledge God. We don't see Christ as God's King. We foolishly think that all of this is for ours for the taking. That's what we read in Romans 1. And God Almighty reveals all this through His Word. God Almighty sends Word through His preacher that He reigns and He rules and He has a King. Well, listen to the fool's response to the king. Here's the fool's response to the king's word. Now, like I said, the king didn't speak to him himself. Are you listening? That's why this story is all about. That's what this story is all about. The king didn't speak to him. He spoke through a man. Could have been a little old bald-head fella.
It was God speaking. And the old fool said, who are you?
Who do you think you are? Where'd you come from?
David spoke.
It's his servant. He said, you go down and you tell that old fool all I've done for him. And now you give me what's mine due. And the fool said, verse 10, Nabal answered David's servants, and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There's all kind of servants, he said. There are many servants that break away from their master. There are many that call themselves messiahs. There are many this and that and the other. Who is David? I want you to turn with me. Well, let's keep reading. The fool Nabal said in verse 11, shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed from my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? Mine? Shall I take mine and give it to somebody I don't know? Oh, no, I've worked too hard for all this. I accumulated all this. Turn with me now to Daniel chapter 5, book of Daniel. Chapter 5. There's another fella named Nebuchadnezzar that thought he was something. He was a fool, too. Nebuchadnezzar and his son. His son, same way. He was a fool, and his son was a fool. Daniel chapter 5, as I said, man is such a fool, he thinks that he, all things are obtained by him. He thinks he has a divine, has a right to all things. Man is so foolish as to think he has a free will and free reign and free power. But the scripture says, Daniel 5, look at it, verse 19. Now, for the majesty that he gave him, the king, he's talking about the king. God Almighty gave him majesty. All people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would slew, whom he would he kept alive. This is talking about God, the king. Whom he would he slew, whom he would he kept alive, whom he would he set up, whom he would he put down. That's the God of the Bible. That's our God, who does all things according to his will. But old Nebuchadnezzar, when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne and took his glory from him. Until down at verse 21, the last line says, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Man doesn't do anything according to his own will. It's not of him that willeth, of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. It's all of God. And down in verse 23, he said, the God in whose hand, the last line of verse 23, the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. And neither did Naboth. Go back to the text now. So that's a fool, isn't it? An absolute fool. The word of the king comes to a fool, and he rejects it outright. He rejects it. Now, he's a fool. Now what's going to happen to a fool who rejects the word of the king? The wrath of the king is coming down on his head. Not the love of the king. Oh, David, well, his servants went to Nabal and said, oh, don't worry, David loves you. And has a wonderful plan for your life. And he's just hoping someday you'll give your heart to David. David said, look at 1 Samuel 25. David said in verse 13, gird on your sword. Every man, you tell my servants, get the sword on. We're not going to love these people into the kingdom. Get the sword on. Get your sword in your hand. My men aren't wimpy beggars begging people to accept God. Get your sword in your hand. No country was ever conquered by love. The kingdom of heaven, the scripture says, suffereth violence. Our Lord said, and the violence take it by force. Man's a fool. As Abigail said about Nabal, he won't hear you. He won't hear anybody that speaks to him. Man's a fool. David said, get on your sword. And there were a bunch of them. 400 men. Coming. The wrath of the king coming down on this fool. Are you with me? The wrath of the king coming down on this old fool. And he's so foolish, he doesn't even know it. What's he doing? Must be laying in his house. Watching Oprah. Something. He's a fool. The wrath of the king abides on him. And the scripture says the wrath of God abides on those that believe not. Not the love of God. Where do men get that stuff? He that believeth not is condemned already. John 3:18. That's two verses after verse 16. Not the love of God. God, scripture says, Psalm 5:5 is angry with the wicked every day. This is what's wrong with this generation. No fear of God. Why? God loves everybody. No! Psalm 11:7, God hateth all workers of iniquity, the Scripture says. The wrath of God abides upon the ungodly, the Scripture says. The wrath of God's coming down on this world. God's going to burn this planet up, and it's not His love that's going to do it. Who's He going to burn up? Well, rapists and murderers and robbers. Yeah. No. Unbelievers. Those that reject His King. Fools who think all their lives they've got what they've got by their own doing. Fools who say Jesus Christ just another Messiah, like Muhammad or like Confucius or like Buddha. He's just another man who accepts or reject Jesus. Fools! God says, dirt on your sword. That's the God of this book, whom men don't know. Do you know an Abigail? Oh, if you're an Abigail who now sees the wrath of God, of the King coming, falls on her face before the King, and takes her part with the fool. She takes her part with the fool. You're blessed. You're going, wow, this King will marry you. Yeah. I'm getting way ahead of myself. I couldn't wait to get to that. Who is David? Gird on your sword. And not going to be one that pisses against the wall. God's word is so plain. Not mealy mouth. He doesn't mince words. He tells it like it is. And so do his preachers. Get on your sword. The wrath of the King. They're all going to die. He'll kill them all. He's going to kill them all. Stephen, he's going to kill them all. That's what he said, didn't he? But surely there's some innocent people down there. He's going to kill them all. They all deserve to die. If they're part with that fool, if they've been living with that fool, then they're fools. If she's married, if Abigail was married to a fool, that makes her a fool. None. She stayed with that old fool, that makes her a fool. And all we, like sheep, have gone astray, Scripture says. God looked down to see if there were any that understand. I'm a fool. I've been a fool. I played the fool for many years. Have you not? Everyone in here. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The God in whose hands your breath is and all your way you have not glorified. That's all of us. All. In Adam, all died. Isn't that what the Scripture says? In Adam, all have sinned. God is angry with all. There's only one way that anybody is going to be spared. There's only one way that David, there's only one way that just anybody in this house at Nabal is going to be saved. Only one way. An intercessor. A mediator. Somebody is going to have to go plead with the King. If you're still with me, if there's one or two in here, we're going to be saved by the mercy of God, God sparing us what we deserve. God sparing us. That salvation is by mercy. That means not getting what we deserve. We don't deserve love. We don't deserve grace. We don't deserve to be saved. No, 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 no. Salvation is by the mercy of God, sparing fools. We're going to be saved by the mercy of God through an intercessor. All right, let's look at the mediator, the intercessor. That took too long to get to it. Verse 25, chapter 25, verse 3, describes Nabal. Said he's a churlish man and evil, but Abigail. Says Abigail was a woman of good understanding, and of a beautiful countenance. In other words, she was wise and she was lovely. And she's going to make intercession, mediate, on behalf of some. Not all, but some. Who is this Nabal? Who does Abigail represent? Abigail represents the Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he himself is not a fool, but he was bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but in all points was tempted like as we are, yet without sin, who was made flesh and dwelt among us, who was married to, who left the Father to cleave unto his bride, his people. Abigail, he doesn't intercede for all of them, but some of them. Some of them. Nabal doesn't deserve intercession, does he? He doesn't deserve it. Well, we have a mediator. And one of the young men, verse 14, one of the young men, one of Nabal's fellows, told Abigail. He went running to Abigail when he saw what Nabal did. When he saw who it was that Nabal did this to, when he saw the wrath of the king was coming, one of these fellows came to his senses. One of these fellows went running to Abigail. Read on. And said, verse 14, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master. David sent messengers. He railed on him. Our master railed on him. David sent messengers. The word from the king. And our master railed on him. Hated it. Verse 15. Then the men were so good to us. It was good. They were good. They weren't hurt. Didn't hurt us anything. Everything they said was good. As long as we were conversant with them. When we were in the field, they were a wall unto us. They protected us day and night. All that while we were with them keeping the sheep. What's it say? That some by the grace of God, some by the mercy and grace of God, God Almighty reveals to them who the king is. That God Almighty reveals to them they're under the wrath of God. That God Almighty reveals to them the goodness of God, the protection of God, the provisions of God, all their lives. And they go running to the intercessor. They go right into their mediator and say, look at verse 17. What will you do? Now therefore, you know this. That what are you going to do? You've got to do something for us. That's what he said. You've got to do something for us. You're the only one that can. The king's coming. And we're dead men. We've been fools just like our master. He went running to Abigail, the wife of the king, and said, she's going to be the wife of the king, and said, you've got to do something. We're dead men if you don't do something. Will you go do something for us? Who's that represent? Huh? Who's Abigail represent? As I said, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God... One mediator, Paul said to Timothy, between God and men, not man, not all mankind, no. He said, I pray not for the world. John 17, he said, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. the dying they are. She didn't tell this to Nabal. Well, she told her young men, her servant. She didn't tell Nabal. But she told her young servant, well, she's going, I'm going. Look at this. Now look at this. Are you with me? If somebody's with me, you're going to get a blessing. Abigail made haste, verse 18. She made haste. And she took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready to drink, bread, wine, and a killed lamb. I know what the king likes. I know what the king requires. Jesus Christ came by one offering. It perfected forever. Not the blood of bulls and goats, that's impossible, but by his own precious blood. Bread and wine. His body, his blood. Christ the lamb slain. Read on. 5 measures of parched corn, 100 cluster of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on acid and fruit. A great deal of fruit unto the king. Christ lived this fruitful life. None did. None have. But Christ did. He bore fruits. Herein is the Father glorified, our Lord said, that you bear much fruit. Well, he did. Christ glorified the Father with a fruitful life. Brought it unto the king. Look at my fruits. A good tree brings forth good fruit. And she said unto her servant, verse 19, you go on before me, I come after you. You see what that same verse is saying? Our Lord, who dwelt with the Father from the beginning, sent his servants, the prophets, before him. With all these same things, the shadows, the types of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to come himself till later, but he's going to come. And he sent all these things before him as types, as pictures of him who was to come. His servant. He said, you go on before me, I'm going to come. I will come after you. And they did. And verse 20, and it was so. Oh, I love this. I love this. Verse 20, it was so. As she rode on the ass, here comes the mediator. Here comes the intercessor. How's she coming into town? Riding on the ass. That's Zechariah's prophecy of the Lord himself who came into Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh. Riding on an ass, Zechariah said. Meek and lowly, riding on an ass. And what does he have? Salvation. He's the only one that can do us any good. Behold, he cometh. And it says she rode on an ass. She came down. She had to come down. Our Lord came down from heaven by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her. Everybody was against her. She met them. She met them. And our Lord, our mediator, our intercessor, our captain, he came. He came down to meet. Everything is against us. The handwriting of ordinances that are against us. The law of God that we broke that's against us. The justice of God that demands our death and our punishment. Devils that are against us. God. And he met them. At Calvary's tree. He met them. Took off his shoe. That's another story. He met them face to face. And, where are we? So when Abigail, verse 23, when Abigail saw David, she hasted. Christ, for the love of the Father, the glory of the Father, made haste and came to this planet. And she fell down before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet. And she praised this prayer. Fell on her face and prayed this intercessory prayer. And for those of you who are conversant with God's Word, it's what it says right before John 17 when our Lord was to go to that cross and face the wrath of God for His people. It says He fell on His face and said, My Father. Verse 24, fell at His feet and said, Unto me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Let this iniquity be on me. Let thine handmaid, I pray, speak in thine audience. Hear the words. Father, hear me, our Lord said. I know you hear me. I know you do. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is it. Nabal is his name. Folly is with him. He's a fool. He's a fool. And Abigail went on. I'm not going to read all of this for the sake of time. But she went on to extol and honor and glorify and sing the praises of King David. Said, you're king. And in you is wrapped up, is bound up life. The bundle of life is in you. In you we live and move and have our being. And they played the fool. And we all deserve to die. But I'm here mediating, interceding on behalf of my people that you'd spare them. Would you spare them for your mercy's sake? She went on down verse 31 to say that no grief be unto thee, or offense of heart be unto my Lord, nor shed blood causeless. Upon me let their iniquity be, Christ said. Upon me let their sin be. Punish me in their stead. If you seek punishment, take me, let them go. What's those young men? What's the hope of any of these house of Nabal? Huh? David's going to kill them all. One word. Just give me one word that's the hope of anybody. Young, old, rich, poor, black, white, male, female. Anybody that's of the house of Nabal. Give me one word that's their hope. One word why they shouldn't die. One word. Abigail. God's. All the sons of Adam who are fools. There's one hope. There's but one hope. In Adam all die, but one word. In Christ all made alive. All in Christ. All interceded for by Christ. All mediated by Christ. We made alive. One hope. One hope. God's going to hear Christ. He won't hear a fool. But he'll hear a fool through Christ. Abigail's intercession, she came riding that ass. She came down. She made intercession for those fools. She met all that was against her. She said, upon me let this iniquity be. Bless the young men. Look down at verse 20. Verse 26. Verse 27. Let this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it be given to the young men. Bless the young men for my sake because of what all I brought to you. You see that, John David? I've brought all this to you. I've done all this for you. Charge it to their account. And that's exactly what Christ did. God doesn't accept us for what we bring. Oh, no. But for what Christ brought. Well, listen, what's the king's answer? Now, he's sovereign. Fools deserve to die. What's the king's answer? Is he a merciful king? Oh, he's a good king. It's David. Verse 32. David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. Oh, God is blessed to send you to intercede for His people. For my glory, David said, this is going to be under my glory, and it's going to be for the salvation of your people.
Blessed be the Lord, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which thou hast kept me from this day shedding blood and avenging myself with mine own hand. Verse 34, he says, in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been one of Nabal's house. Surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that hisseth against the wall. Surely if you hadn't come to me, not one of them would have lived. I'd have killed them all. And so, verse 35, David received of her hand that which she had brought, and said unto her, you go up. You came down, now go up. In peace to thine house. I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. Read it again. Maybe I ought to read that again and you respond. Go up to your house. I've received from you everything. I've heard your voice and I accept your person on behalf of them. There's one of these young men maybe back there listening to all this. Received. Yeah, one of them back in the background. And he went and told the others, we're okay. We're going to be saved. He's not going to kill us. Well, Abigail spoke to him for us. Abigail. You know what? I believe the king loves Abigail. Well, I surely do. Saw it in his face. Saw it in his eyes. He did. That's not the end of the story. Nabal died. He died. He was drunk in his tent. Verse 37, wine was gone out of him, and his wife finally told him. This is such a picture of man that comes to his deathbed. This old fool comes to his deathbed, and his wife told him, the king sent word to kill us all. And here this fellow woke out of his drunken stupor, and it says his heart died within him, scared him to death, and he died. Too late, isn't it? Too late. You already rejected it. The king sent word through his servants, and you rejected him. It's too late now. Well, Nabal, or Abigail, it says, Abigail, it says in verse 39, that David heard Nabal was dead, said, blessed be the Lord, hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, hath kept his servant from evil, for the Lord had returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent, communing with Abigail, set her to wife. You come up, you just be my bride from here on out. Leave the house of fools. Come up to the king's house, where we'll dwell forevermore. And all your servants can come too. They can all come be with it. That's Abigail's intercession, but more importantly, and the reason the story happened, was to tell us of the Lord Jesus Christ, the intercessor, a fool. All right, let's sing in closing, number 42. Hymn number 42. All hail the power of Jesus' name. The power that angels prostrate fall. Let's stand as we sing. Number 42. Stand with me. Okay. Thank you.
yonder sacred throng we at His feet may fall. Let's sing that.
Oh, thine with yonder sacred throng we at His feet may fall.